Amen. Take your copy of your scriptures out, and if you don't have a copy with you, you'll find one in the pew. We will put the verses on the screen, but I encourage you to have an open Bible in front of you as we today just we just look into the Word and see what God has to say. This particular sermon has kind of been brewing in my heart now for about 3 weeks. In fact, this 40th Psalm is where I want you to turn. And in this 40th Psalm, I was reading, I just happened to be reading in the Psalms just before Hurricane Harvey hit. And this passage just jumped out at me. And so So it caused me to be contemplating and meditating, and then the sermon just come. My prayer is that the Lord would have something to say to our hearts today, and that we might receive it. In 1981, an American Jewish rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner wrote a book entitled "When Bad Things Happen to Good People." When bad things happen to good people. And in this book, Rabbi Kushner tried to really answer the question of evil in our world. So the question is, if God is good and if God is all-powerful, then how do you explain evil? How do you explain bad things happening? How do you explain, if God certainly is good, that bad things happen to good people? And so he asked this question: when bad things happen to good people, what is it? How is that possible? And his answer to the question went something like this. He said that, yes, God is good, okay? In fact, he cited a bunch of scripture, Old Testament scripture, certainly, that God is good. But he also, in his book, decided that the only way to answer the question of why bad things happen to good people is to say that while God is good, he's not all-powerful. And so when bad things happen, it's not really God's fault. Things just kind of get out of control, and God can't control them. And since God is loving, but he's not all-powerful, when bad things happen to us, what we need to do is learn to love God and forgive God, you know, in spite of his failings, because while he's good, he's not all-powerful, okay? Now, beloved, that is certainly one way to answer that question. The only problem is that when you read the entire scripture, you find out that not only is God good, but he is also God Almighty, that he's God all-powerful. And so if he is good, and if he is all-powerful, then why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why are there hurricanes? Why, you know, when I'm sitting here and I'm trying to do the best I can, I'm trying to serve God and I'm faithful, I'm going to church and I'm giving my money and you know, I'm not cussing too much and all those things, you know, why is it that floods come, right? Why is it that here I am when I'm doing everything that I can do for God or, you know, whatever, and yet I find water in my house, right? And all my stuff floating away and maybe, you know, even people dying. Why do bad things happen to good people? I want to answer that question for you today, okay? And my answer is, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'd like to know. I know that we all, you know, would love to have that answer. And maybe one day when we, you know, stand before God, we're going to get that answer. I know there's a tendency on our part to think that when bad things happen to good people, it's just punishment. You know, it's God punishing, you know, us for evil, you know, for our own evil. And the only problem with that is if that's true. And I do. God is holy, right? And if God is holy, it's not a wonder that bad things happen to good people. It's a wonder that good things happen to bad people, right? I mean, if God is holy, why aren't we all washed away in the flood, right? I mean, when you think of it in those terms, I mean, I'm not any better sinner or worse sinner than anybody else. I didn't get water in my house. Maybe you got water in your house. So I don't know that God was trying to punish you and not punish me, because if he was punishing you, he would have punished me too, because like I said, I'm just as good a sinner as anybody else, or maybe even, I may even be a better sinner than some people. So it's just not a good answer to say that when bad things happen to good people, it's just God punishing sin. Now, it may be that hurricanes and earthquakes and all those things are God kind of knocking on the door saying, hey, let me get your attention now, okay? I mean, you're going to listen to me. I've been calling to you. I've been talking to you. You've been turning away from me. You've been going, you know, in a national sense. It may very well be that those type of things are God knocking at the door. But I don't want you to think that just because you got water in your house, God's trying to punish you for some reason. In fact, a good example of this in the Bible is Job. I mean, somebody that knew about bad times or hard times, right? That Old Testament man Job, you remember that story? One day he's sitting on his front porch drinking coffee when you know, some messengers show up one after another and say, hey, Job, there's just been a big storm, and man, all your cattle are gone, and there was some lightning, and that killed all your camels, and then there was an earthquake, and that killed all your kids, and everything is taken away. I mean, just in one fell swoop, Job loses everything. I mean, you think you've lost a lot, maybe in the last week or whenever. I mean, he lost everything just like that. And this is what Job said. He said in Job 1:21, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise the name of the Lord. And he was just stating some great truths or some obvious things, and that is, we come into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. There's no U-Hauls after, you know, the hearse, right? And so everything that we have in this life comes from God, and so he gives it. And if he gives it, then he has the right to take it away. And so if that happens, okay, well, what should we do? Well, praise the name of the Lord. I mean, that's who we are. I mean, we were created to praise and worship him. And that's just what Job is saying here. Okay, I lost everything. Well, I'm not going to take it with me anyway. And so what I'm going to do is do what I was created to do, and that was praise him. In the next chapter, in Job chapter 2, not only now has Job lost everything, but then he loses his health. And for those of you who have had chronic health issues, and some of you have some right now, I mean, you know, maybe some of what he was going through is kind of a double whammy for Job. Not only does he lose everything, but now all of a sudden, you know, his health is taken away. And in a picture of abject desperation, in this second chapter of Job, you see him sitting out on the trash pile, and he takes a broken piece of pottery and starts scraping the flesh, the rotting flesh off of his bones, you know. I mean, it'd be kind of like if you lost everything in the flood, and as you're sitting there thinking about it, the phone rings, and it's the doctor who says, oh, by the way, that test you took last week, yeah, it's cancer, and you're going to die soon. You know, that's kind of the way it happened to Job. And Job's wife comes to him. She's an encourager, by the way. And so she says in the ninth verse of the second chapter of Job, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Yeah, just curse God and die. And what you hear her saying there is, hey, what good is your religion anyway? Okay, you've been faithful to God, you've worshiped God, you've praised God, you've done all those things, and now you've lost it all and you've lost your health. I mean, God obviously has it out for you. He's going to get you. So why don't you just go ahead and give up this charade of faithfulness and just curse God and get it over with and go ahead and die? That's really what she says. And Job's response is really interesting. I wouldn't encourage too many of you guys to speak this way, but he says, you speak as a foolish woman speaks. He says, should we accept only good from God and not adversity? Now, I want you to notice that Job there, who knows all these things about hard times and floods and problems, he doesn't try to get God off the hook. He doesn't say, hey, God didn't cause this stuff. In fact, he almost admits that he does. But he says, look, if God gives good, can he give not only can he give whatever he wants to give? And if I'm going to accept one, shouldn't I accept the other as well? In other words, I really think what Job is saying here is listen, my religion is more about what I get My religion is about a living relationship with the living God. And if I get good from him, I'm going to worship and praise him. And if I don't get good from him, then I'm going to worship and praise him. If I get adversity, if I get evil or whatever it is, because he's God and I'm not, and I belong to him. I mean, this is what you hear Job saying. And really, I think that many of us need to hear this particular word, especially because there's a tendency on many of our parts to think that our religion is all about us. And we get this from a lot of preachers out there that are going to tell us that very thing. That God not only loves you, but he wants your good. So whatever is good, that's from God. And whatever is not good, that's not from God. But he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be wise. And if you just got enough faith, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you're not healthy, wealthy, and wise, probably because you just don't have enough faith, right? So it really is your fault. It's not God's fault. But anyway, God is really all about you, right? And so there are many people that, hey, God, you know, I'm going to church now, and I'm giving my money, or I'm tithing, and I'm not doing, you know, I'm not cussing, smoking, chewing, and doing all that stuff, or going with the girls who do, and, you know, I'm living right, I'm trying to do good, so I better get good from you, you know? And if something bad happens to me, then all of a sudden now I'm mad at God, and all of a sudden I'm not going to church no more, and all of a sudden I'm not, you know, being faithful with my tithes or all that stuff, because God, listen, if I'm going to do my part, that's my religion part, then you better do your part, right? And what Job says here is, my religion is not about me, it's not about what I get from God. I don't go to church. I don't give because I think God's going to do something good for me. I'll receive whatever it is from God. He's God, and I belong to him. Now that's what Job says, and I think many of us ought to hear that. Now, that doesn't answer the question why bad things happen to good people. I'll admit that, okay? But it's a reality, spiritual life, that God is God, and that he can do whatever he wants to do. And this brings me to this 40th Psalm. And like I said, I was reading this Psalm just a day before Harvey came in. And I noted, first of all, that it was a Psalm of David. And David's one of my favorite men of the Bible, because not only was he a great man of faith, and he was a man after God's own heart. I really appreciate that of him. But because he was a man after God's own heart, maybe he was a musician. And he wrote songs. I've always envied that. I've always wanted to express I want to try to express myself in a way that, you know, moves people. And I found that musicians can do that, you know, when, you know, guys like me can't necessarily do it. And so David is one of those musicians who when he writes his music, he expresses it in such a way that just moves the heart. And in this particular psalm, David is going through some adversity. Maybe it's a flood. Maybe it's something else. And this is what he sings to God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit. And that word desolate could also be translated watery. And this is what caught my attention as I was reading this. He brought me up from a watery pit out of the muddy clay. And he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. Any of y'all been down in the mud lately? He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. How happy is the man, or how blessed is the man who put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. What are the lies that some people run after? Well, that God is good, but he's not all powerful. That's a lie, see? Trying to get God off the hook, but it's a lie about God. Oh yeah, don't blame God, just love him and forgive him, right? That's a lie. So blessed or how happy is the man who put their trust in the Lord. I'll talk about that word Lord here in just a second. And had not turned to the proud or those who run after lies. Verse 5, Lord my God, you have done many things. Now, you see that many things there? Good things. Some things that we might consider not so good. You have done many things, your wonderful works, and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So here's David, here's a man who has found himself down in the watery pit, in the muck and the mire of this life. But he's got a personal relationship with the living God. And he doesn't answer the question, why bad things happen to good people. I'll say it again. I don't know why. I'm not going to tell you why bad things might have happened to you. I'm not going to tell you why. Maybe you got water in your house and I didn't get it in mine. I'm not going to tell you why, you know, maybe, you know, you got the bad disease and somebody else didn't. I don't know why, but I do know the one who lives today. And if you'll just receive this word, I think God might have something for us here. I want to just mention three things when bad things happen, okay? Three things. Number one, God is sovereign. Okay, now I want you to hear that again. God is sovereign. Now where do you see that? Well, look back at that first verse. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord. Now you see that word Lord? I want you to notice that it's all caps. So it's not just capital L, small O-R-D. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now what that tells you, when you see that in the Bible, okay, and you're reading your Bible and you see the word Lord in all caps, what that means is that's the Hebrew word Yahweh, okay? It's the covenantal name for God. It's the name that God gave to himself when Moses is up there on Mount Sinai and God is saying, hey, I'm going to send you down to Egypt. And Moses says, well, I can't go because I don't even know your name. I mean, they're going to ask me your name. I don't know your name. How can I go tell them about you and I don't even know your name? And so God says, okay, well, my name is I Am. My name is Yahweh. I Am. What does that mean? And if you just let that word or that name rest on you for just a little bit, what you're going to find out is when God said, I am, what he was saying was, I am the all-sufficient one. In other words, whatever you need, God is saying, I am. Do you need a savior? I am, right? Do you need a rescuer? I am. Do you need a life-giving river? I am. You know, whatever it is you need, whatever, right? God says, I am. And that's what that name means. So it means he's the all-sufficient one. He is the sovereign God over all things. Now, watch this. To say that God is sovereign is not to say, now listen very carefully, is not to say that God causes everything. And it's not to say that he doesn't cause everything. Okay, now maybe he does cause everything, or maybe he doesn't. I mean, you know, you're going to find different people believing different things. I mean, some people say, well, okay, so God, he causes everything. So good things, bad things, whatever. And there are others who say, no. If something bad happens to me, that's the devil, okay? So the devil, you know, is at work in this world, and he's doing bad things, right? And so to say that God is sovereign is not really to engage in that argument, whether God causes everything or the devil causes bad things or whatever. That's not what, when we say that God is sovereign, that really is not talking about any of that. When we say that God is sovereign, it's not to say that he does or he doesn't cause everything. It's to say that he is over everything. Okay, now I want you to see the distinction. It's not whether or not he causes everything, it's that he's over everything. That is, he is Lord. Sovereign means he rules. Okay, now let me just just help you to understand, because Job kind of got into this argument with God, you know, and he was wondering why all this stuff was happening to him. And, you know, his friend said, well, it's because you've sinned, right? You're a sinner and you've got some problems and you've sinned, and so God is just punishing you. And Job was like, hey, I know I'm not perfect, but I hadn't done anything to deserve this. I mean, you know, he's taken everything away, and I see other people out there that are worse than me, and they're not having any problems at all, right? And so he has this debate with his friends, and finally God shows up, and God says, hey, Job, let me tell you something. He says, Job, you can't really understand this stuff, but let me just try to help you. And so he starts asking him some questions. He says, by the way, where were you when I spoke everything into being, when I created everything? Where were you when I started the universe, you know, in its courses? Where were you when I set the constellations in place? Where were you, you know, when I created this earth? And then where were you when I told the water it could come this far and no further? And so he was talking about the shoreline, right? See, God is overall. What he was saying was, Job, I'm sovereign and I dictate. Okay, so I am in control over all these things. Not only did I create it, not only did I sustain it, not only did I keep it going, but I control it. Okay, so like with the river, or with the ocean, with the hurricane, God says, okay, you can come this far and no further. Or you're going to go this way, or you're going to go that way. Now for me personally, I love science, and I believe that we have a lot of physical laws in place, and that's why we have things like hurricanes and that type of stuff. And so I don't have any problem at all, you know, saying that hurricanes spin up because of the spin of the earth and because of the heat of the water and because of all these other things that are going on. That's why we have hurricanes. But what I would say is that even in the midst of a hurricane, there is a sovereign God who is over all of those things. You understand? Now watch this. If he is over the hurricane, if he is sovereign God over a hurricane or over a flood, in other words, if God says, okay, flood, you can go this far but no further. If he's sovereign over that, then might he also be sovereign over your life or your home or, you know, whatever it is that you've got. I mean, I'll admit to you that to say that God is sovereign over this world or that sovereign over my life, it's a faith statement. I mean, I personally believe it. But I know that, well, in fact, I think hurricanes and floods prove it personally. And I'm grateful that there is a sovereign God that rules all over these things and says, okay, flood, you can go this far and no further. If not, we would have all been wiped out. But you know, some of us have a problem with that. There's a lot of people who have a problem with the sovereignty of God over their life. I mean, they may be willing to let God be sovereign over those things out there, but when it comes to me, I want to be Lord. I want to dictate. I want to say I'm sovereign. And you know what? That'll work for you for a little while, But the next time the flood comes, just see how sovereign you are. Stand out on your front porch and say, okay, water, you're not going to come up here. Well, if it's coming, it's going to come, right? Because ultimately, you're not sovereign. Do you understand? You don't reign or rule over anything. You might rule or reign over what you're going to have for lunch, but you can't keep your heart beating through lunch. You ever thought about that? Okay, so when bad things happen, God is sovereign. Number what? Number two is this. If God is sovereign, you can trust him. Look back at David here in verse 1. He says, so I waited patiently for the Lord, the sovereign Lord, Yahweh. And then it says, he turned to me and heard my cry. Let that just soak in for just a second. Remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the sovereign God of all the universe, who spoke everything into being, and he spun the what word am I thinking about? All those stars and everything. The Yeah, the galaxies. Thank you. He spun the galaxies up, and you know, he spun our sun and moon and you know, all the planets around. Yeah, he did all that stuff, and maybe even spun up the hurricane and all that. But anyway, he's sovereign. He is, man, and God's got all these things going on, and here I am. I'm this weak, you know, sinful, messed up guy, and what makes me think that if I cry out that he is going to hear me? Why would I even think that? I mean, he's got a lot of other stuff going on, right? He's got a lot of things to worry about, right? And yet David said, but I cried out to him. He turned to me. It wasn't that he had his back to me, right? And so David's understanding or his view of God is not some, you know, old dude with a gray beard setting off somewhere, you know, kind of unconcerned and out of touch. He's talking about an in-touch God, right, who is not only sovereign, he's the Lord over all things, but man, as soon as I cry out to him, he turns to me, and man, face to face, and he sees me, and he hears my cry. I don't know what that does for you, but I tell you, when I was thinking about this, and I was trying to put this together in my mind, you know, I thought about 35 years ago when I was a brand new daddy, right? And I will tell you that that being a father for me was not only one of the greatest experiences of my life, but it was also one of the most frightening and terrifying experiences because I had no clue about babies, and fortunately I had a wife that knew a little bit about them. So we took this little girl home, and we put her in her crib, and we put her right next, you know, she stayed in her crib, and her room was like right next to ours. We kept the doors open, and you know, in the middle of the night, you know, maybe she would have a bad dream, or maybe she just, I don't know, maybe she'd just get hungry, but she would cry out, right? And you know, I was a heavy sleeper, but I became a light sleeper. Now I'll be honest with you that it may very well be that my wife heard the baby's cry before I did. Okay, I'll admit that. I mean, I've said before that I've got a number 3 footprint right in the middle of my back, you know, where she would just kind of kick me out of bed. Go get the baby. And so, you know, but I learned to listen. I would hear the cry of that baby, and so I would go in there, you know, and I wouldn't ignore her, right? Because she belonged to me. And she needed me. And so what I would do is I would reach down in that crib, and I would pick that crying baby up, and I'd draw her to myself, you know, and I would soothe her and comfort her, and usually that meant taking her to her mother, you know, so her mother could take care of her, but you know, she was mine, and I heard her cry, and I would just reach down, and I would take her, and this is kind of the picture I get with God. So here I am, I'm just this weak child, baby, and I'm overwhelmed with the flood or the storm or just the trials of life, whatever it is. And so I cry out to God, why in the world would I even think that this God of the universe would hear my cry? But he does. Not only does he hear my cry, but he reaches down and he picks me up and he draws me to myself or to himself. And I'd tell you, beloved, like a baby girl can trust her daddy, you can trust Abba Father. If he's sovereign God over all things and he's sovereign over your life, you can trust this God. There's one final thing here, and that is God is sovereign. When in the middle of the storm, when you need to know God is sovereign, you can trust him. And then here comes the gospel, by the way, because Jesus saves. This is so cool. Look down at verse 2. Okay, so here's David. He says, so I waited patiently on the Lord. He turned to me. I cried out to him. He heard my cry. And then he says, and he brought me up from the watery or the desolate pit. And I'll say it again. That's what really got my attention. Out of the muddy clay. Now David doesn't say why he was down in the muddy pit or the desolate pit. He doesn't say you know, why he was there, how he got there. He was just there, as all of us are, okay? If you didn't get water in your house this past, you know, week, okay, cool. But you know what? There's other storms that are coming, and one of them is going to get you, okay? The flood, nobody's immune, you know? We're all end up down in that watery pit. So watch what happens. So God, the sovereign God of the universe, reaches down. He gets himself dirty. He gets himself muddy. As he reaches down into that muddy pit, and he picks up that crying baby, cleans him off, sets him up on the rock. Did you see that? There in verse 2, he set my feet on a rock. It is, he made my steps secure. Beloved, this is the story of redemption. This is what God did for you and me. We were in the muddy pit. We were sinking deep in sin because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters lifting me. Now safe am I, love lifted me. This is God. Jesus is God getting his hands dirty when he got down into that muddy pit for you. He was reaching down for you. He pulled you up out of it and he set you on the rock. And this rock is Jesus, a sure, firm foundation that will never, ever fail. And listen, if God would reach down in the pit and he would save you, because remember, this is the story of redemption. This is what God has done in salvation. If he would reach down and save you from your sin by lifting you up on the pit, or lifting you up out of the pit and setting you on the rock that's Jesus, if he would do that, don't you think he can take care of a little hurricane named Harvey or a little flood from the Brazos or the San Bernard or whatever it is? I mean, you see, God did something. And then he goes on to say, and he put a new song in my mouth. I know some of y'all were a little uncomfortable with the music this morning because you didn't recognize all those songs. But you know what? It's okay to sing new songs sometime. Because when you get to heaven, it says we're going to be singing a new song. And that's the song of the redeemed. It's the song of salvation. It's the song of what Jesus did for me. Okay, so it's okay to learn new songs. So David said he put a new song. It was a hymn of praise to our God. And then he goes on and he talks about all the things that God had done for him and how other people are going to see that. Now you see, if he saves you from the pit of hell, he can save you in the midst of any storm. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. But I know that Jesus saves. Now, if he hadn't saved you out of the pit, okay, now we've got a different story. Okay, if you're still down in that pit of sin, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're still down in that pit, how do you get out of the pit? There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Jesus is God getting his hands dirty. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus got down in the pit, and he took on our sin, and he died. So that, and what that did was that cleaned us up, so now we could be set up on that rock and not slip off, because we're cleaned by the blood of Jesus. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel story. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, you're still down in the pit, what do you got to do? Well, you've got to admit that you're a sinner, and you got to confess your sin. And then you got to put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Believe that he is God's Son, God in the flesh, who came and died on the cross for your sin. And when you put your faith and trust in him, what happens there is that that hand just lifts you right up out of there and sets you on that rock. And now, standing on the rock on which nothing can knock you off, not a flood, not a hurricane, not a tornado, not death, not nothing. When you're standing on the rock, why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I don't know. I wish they didn't. I wish it was all good, you know, but sometimes it's just not good. But I do know the one who lives and rules and reigns over the bad things. He reigns over the storm. And he reigns over you. And if you'll give him your life, you'll find out that, you know what, it don't matter what storm comes anymore. It's not that you're not heartbroken over the loss. I'm not saying that, of course. You know, we get attached to things and they're taken away, and we're heartbroken, certainly. It's not that we're not heartbroken over the loss. It's just that the peace, and I tell you what, I've seen this in so many ways this past week. Some people who have lost everything, and yet just a calm peace and assurance, because the one thing that they can't lose is still alive within them, and that's Jesus. And I just want to ask you this question this morning. Do you know this Jesus? Have you ever met him? Has he reached down into that pit and pulled you out? Do you belong to him today? He is sovereign, and you can trust him because Jesus saves. And if you've never trusted him, if you've never been saved, today is the day of salvation. I'm going to open up this altar here in just a second. We're just going to come. And if you need to cry out to the Lord, you cry out to him. If you need to be saved, today is the day. Come on. And let's just make sure before we leave this place, we've done all this business with God. It may be that there's a great burden that you've got on your heart that you just need, you know, to lay before him. It might be that some of you men need to take your wife by the hand and come down here and just kneel before the God of the universe and just pray for this woman, or pray for your marriage, or pray for your family, your kids. I don't know what the storm might be, but he's sovereign. Let's give it up to him today in our lives. Father, right now, as we just humble ourselves in this place, as your word takes root and bears fruit of repentance and confession and everlasting life, Lord, be glorified. Sovereign God, take over right now. I ask in Jesus' name.